Well, we're going to be in some of Paul's letters here, so if you want to join me, we're going to be first in Galatians and then in Philippians. So it goes like this. But the fruit of the Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Now we're moving to Philippians here. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Instead, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out merely for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was with God, he did not regard equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. God's word.
Thanks, Keith. So today we're to gentleness, or as Jesus identified it in Matthew 5, as meekness. Couple of things to say about meekness or gentleness. Number one, I don't think that's the default of our society. I think just the opposite. As one sociologist that I read recently stated it, no, we still live in a world where everybody's looking out for number one, for me and for mine. And when we're that self-centered or my group-centered, it's amazing how we're not very gentle. We're not very meek, and I know you say the word meekness, and a lot of people say, oh, I don't want to be meek because that sounds like being weak. But meekness, gentleness, is not about weakness. It's just the opposite. Gentleness is a person who uses their power and their control for the benefit of someone else. For the benefit of someone else. And that doesn't mean that we can't have some for ourselves. But it's the whole idea that we're going to use our position, our status, our power, what we can control in life, and we're going to use that to benefit someone else. Does that sound like a lot of people around you in society? Is that what's being reflected as you look on the news feed? Check out what's on TV? Yeah, probably not. In fact, most likely it's not. Gentleness calls us to an attitude that Jesus displayed very well. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, you must have. Now notice the forcefulness of those words. Paul doesn't say, hey, if you don't have anything else to work on in your... No. Paul is saying this to people just like us. We've got a lot going on. Our schedules are really full. We got a lot of things to keep in priority. Paul says at the top of your priority, you must have the same attitude as Christ Jesus had. Oh, some people read that or hear that and they say, well, then there's no place for me because I am not Jesus Christ. I'm not God. No, no, we aren't. No, you aren't. And what I love about Jesus Christ is he calls us to something. He calls us in a way that we can see the better us. That we want to display more to other peoples. We want to enjoy it ourselves. And as Paul calls us all to this must-have in our life. He's not saying, yeah, if you don't have your act together yet, don't bother. Just the opposite. If you want to improve, if you want to understand the promises and the privileges of being a child of God, come on! Come on! Make a top priority in your life having the same attitude as Jesus. And there is not very often in your life, and it could happen, that you carry the same attitude as Jesus did into a relationship or into a circumstance, and you'll get pushback. Somebody will kick you in the shins. But you know, that doesn't happen very often. Just the opposite. When we start emulating the attitudes of Jesus, our circumstances, our relationships usually change for the positive. Positive. And the attitude of gentleness is one that I think it makes a positive difference, doesn't it? Now, I'm like you. When we begin to take in to our mind, our heart, and our soul the idea that we should have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, I know I need some help with that. I didn't roll on out from the assembly line with a godly attitude, with the sense that I should just be like Jesus Christ and think I can do that. I can't do that on my own. And yes, our own willpower has some power, but it's not like God's power. It's not like God's Holy Spirit power. And I'm like you. We've got these inner characteristics that Paul is laying out for us in Galatians. And each week I'm going, I need help. I don't know if I know how to be that gentle. And for me to be a more gentle person, the kind of gentle person that I read in the scriptures, to have that gentle attitude that Christ Jesus had, I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need some otherworldly power. Yes, I think we need to be powered by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to just take the word power and walk us through what I believe should be very helpful to all of us if we aspire to the attitude of Jesus when it comes to gentleness. Using our power and control for the benefit of other people, I think that starts with getting our personality under the control of God. And the video guy's going to have to chase me over here for a second. Thank you. Now I'm going to go back to my spot, which is right here. It's my best side, so, you know, anyway. Personality. What's your personality? The great thing about everyone's personality is there's a great strength in your personality. A great strength in your personality. But there's also the flip side of that. If gentleness is a virtue, how do we bring that to our personality? Let's just look real quick at personalities. One group are the powerful cholerics around us. Those are all the doers, all the leaders, the people on the move all the time. They're very task-oriented, and they do get their task completed. That's their personality. Then there are people who are more phlegmatic. They're usually peaceful phlegmatics. They're the thinkers. They're the ones that watch things happen in life. They're good. They can cheer you on, but it won't be a, hey, go get them. It'll be like, yeah, go. Then there's a personality I really have a hard time relating to, and those are the popular sanguine people around. We love to talk. We love to encourage and cheerlead other people. We love to be a part of the party. That's who we are. Then there are the perfect melancholic people. They're the ones that like everything organized, everything systematic. They can look at a complex situation or relationships and come up with a formula of how to get to the end or how to help that person. Now, those are the four basic personality types. How are you doing at maximizing the positive dimension of your personality? But as a popular sanguine, a powerful choleric, how do you show gentleness to other people? Well, if gentleness is really using my power and my control for the benefit of other people, there's the insight. If you're more phlegmatic or you're more melancholic, it means moving out, moving close to someone. You don't have to be an automatic extrovert. You don't have to be all that sanguine to be with other people and encourage them. And perhaps, you two categories do better at gentleness than the sanguines, the clerics. Why? Because we're big scene people. And many times it's the phlegmatics and the melancholics that are looking short distance right around them. Process, not necessarily task-oriented. And when you're process-oriented, when you're looking around at other people, well, you see how to be gentle towards them, how to be loving and supportive of them. Here's how Paul put it. Take this scripture and look at the strengths of your personality. And then look at this verse. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Ooh, wow. You mean clerics and sanguines don't have a tendency to look out toward? We don't even consider you some days. We're on our way. We got stuff to do. We're the ones that have to slow ourselves down and really look at other people, not just gather them, lead them, enjoy them. Be humble. You know you're being humble when you think about them in a circumstance or a setting. And some personalities have a little advantage over other personalities. But we all have something really great, something really good, something very personal to bring to the table. And all of us need to be humble and look out for the interests of someone else. So that's the P. Let's go to the O in power. O has to do with outlook. How do you see things in life? What are your perceptions of life? Paul says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. If you're humble, it's easier to identify the interest you have in common with another person. Makes some sense, doesn't it? Don't look. I like that word look. I'm talking about outlook. What is your perspective about a certain situation or person? Here's the thing. Most of the time, our outlook determines whether or not our expectations or perceptions are more important than the thing itself. And it's true. Our perception about a thing is more important than the thing itself. Because our outlook, our perspective, is what determines whether we're going to be happy in that circumstance or relationship or not necessarily happy with things. Our outlook is our outlook towards other people, humbly looking at other people. I think the key is that we take our perceptions and be willing to set them aside for a moment and try to gather our focus to see things from their perspective. We're all very different people. And because we're all very different people, when we come to a crossroad or an intersection in life or a merge in life, we should assume that we don't understand all of the perspective of another person. And so as we try to walk in their shoes, would be another way to say it. It's amazing how we're humbly helpful to them. We're able to think a little bit more like they think, see things the way that they see them. Again, notice what Paul says. Don't look out only for your own interests, but look out for the interests of others. Number three, we're going to words. Your words, they're powerful. Are your words towards others affirming and encouraging? Anybody here not like affirming and encouraging words spoken towards them? Yeah, everybody loves that. We're all looking subconsciously in our psyche for affirmation from other people, encouragement from other people. And when it's there, it energizes us and moves us forward. Man, if it's not there, there's a force with some power. Remember the definition of gentleness. There is a force, there is some power behind our negative words towards other people. Solomon was very wise. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the words of the wise bring what? Healing. Now, some of us are more prone to reckless words than others. And I'll give you a little insight psychologically. When somebody's spewing out reckless words, that is a much greater commentary about that person than it is a commentary about who you are. Why? Because our brokenness, where we need healing, often comes out in our words, especially in stressful circumstances. And I know that if you're going to say that to me, wow, you really have some healing to do. You have some real brokenness in your life. And one of the ways that you know that that the Holy Spirit is healing you and maturing you is one of the things you do is you become less reckless in what you say when you're mad, when you're scared. That fight or flight response kicks in and we're either looking at a person beak to beak and being reckless with our words, or we're on the run saying reckless words as we go. Isn't it true? Yeah, it's very true. Paul put it this way in Ephesians 5:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be what? Good and helpful and encouraging to those who hear them. So rewind the week. How were your words? Were they generally good and helpful and encouraging to those who heard them, or the opposite? Did they devalue them? Did that tear them down a little bit? Did that deter them as they were making their way? Good words are helpful. Reckless words tear down and hurt other people. Now, the option is identified in James 3:6. Remember, right in that passage, he's talking about the tongue. It's a little bit like a rudder of a ship. And the other illustration is this one. It's like a little fire in a forest. A tongue of fire says wicked and corrupt things. As I have said before, taste all the words you're going to say before you say them, because you might have to eat them later. And if they're sweet words, but if they're corrupt words, if they're stinging words, if they're sour words, those are hard words to eat, aren't they? E is expectation. A gentle person has reasonable expectations for themselves and the people around them. Now, when it comes to expectations, you've got a choice. You can either expect too much, and if you expect too much about yourself from yourself, or you expect too much from other people, let me tell you, you're going to be frustrated as an adult. You're going to experience a lot of frustration if your expectations are too high. And expectations are tied to perception. The other thing is, if your expectations of yourself and others are too low, then you know what? Life is pretty dull. There's not a lot around us that's plushing us and moving us forward. Generally, we're a little bored, and life is very dull. In the middle, realistic expectations for yourself, for others, and certain situations and circumstances in your life. A gentle person doesn't have too high or too low of expectations. They have more realistic expectations for those around them. Again, let's listen to Paul. Always be humble, and here's the word, gentle. Those go together. Be patient with others. Another one of those inner characteristics. Making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. Let me ask you, how much allowance have you given for certain people in your life? If you're a high expectation person, you're not very good at even identifying what allowances need to be made. If you're a too low of an expectation person in life, usually it meant that you had expectations at one time in your life, and that did not work out well. So the best way to not be frustrated is to not have any expectations. And with no expectations or too low of expectations, don't be surprised that your life is dull and unfulfilled. How much allowance have you given to someone? We need to give allowance if we're going to have realistic expectations of them. We want to encourage them and advance them in life. A great preacher in Los Angeles, when I was going to seminary, his church served more than any other church in LA. And some folks interviewed him and asked him, Pastor, How is it that you get everyone in your church to serve so well? And he said something really pretty simple. He said, I hold the crown of Christ just a little bit above their heads, and I pray them into it. See, that's allowances. Allowances is just raising the crown of Christ just enough over their head that you can pray them, encourage them, affirm them into it. And I've noticed that those that are gentle people do that very well. They do it almost instinctually. Why? It's about their expectations of someone, of this person and that person. Finally, it's about our responses. Gentle people don't respond aggressively. They do respond assertively. They don't respond pessimistically, they respond optimistically. Are we offering our words? Are we offering ourselves to other people? Or are we throwing our opinion at them all the time? James and my mom were both right. God gave us two ears to hear and one mouth to speak. And we ought to listen to our response to other people before it makes its way out of our mouth. Responses. Yes, it's okay to send your steak back if it wasn't cooked correctly, but you don't have to get angry about that. You can even ask for it to be returned with a smile on your face. Oftentimes, the difference between being an assertive person and an aggressive person, it's the attitude that we reflect in our words, isn't it? Matthew 20:28. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Our responses are about whether we're serving someone else. And I think when it comes to gentleness and what Paul wants to say, we can weave this all together. If we aspire to be gentle, then we're going to be humble. If we seek to be humble, we're going to look out for the interests of others. And as we look out to the interests of others, we're going to say things that are a gift to them, that affirm them and encourage them and build them up. Not tear them down, not make them feel like they're on the spot. Generally, I've seen that gentle, humble, other-oriented people have a reasonable, healthy expectation for others and for themselves. And the test of that comes out not only in our words, but our responses to other people. They all go together. Why? They're all characteristics of the attitude of Christ Jesus. You'll find all of those inner characteristics in the list that Paul gives us in Galatians 5:22-23. Let us pray. Jesus, we know that we're better at some things on this power list than other things. And today's message, what Paul says to us here, it'll give us something to mull over, at least for the whole rest of the day, if not for the next week or two. We know if we're going to be people who have the same attitude as Christ Jesus, we're going to need some Holy Spirit power to do that. because some things come very easy to us, but other things don't come all that naturally to us. And so our prayer is really a simple one today. Help us to be more other-focused than self-centered. And help us to listen to your Holy Spirit, who then can say to us, whisper to us, prompt us to use our personality in the very best way. To look at our outlook, our perspective, and see if we're not seeing what someone else sees. And we all know that our words are powerful. Help ours to be encouraging and affirming of others. Help us to have expectations, but not expectations that are too high. Help us, Lord, as we go about our days, to hold the crown of Jesus Christ just a little bit above their heads, and help us to pray them into it. And then ultimately, Lord, you know, when we're having a bad day, you know what our reactions are, what our responses are. And help us to have more better days than bad days. And help, Lord, the things that we say and share with others to be words that focus more upon them than they do upon ourselves. Jesus, you've given us our whole lifetime to work on having an attitude just like you. And we're thankful that when we get to heaven, we will. And we're thankful that you've given us the Holy Spirit, that as we move along in the process of sanctification, that we become more and more like you. So, Father, give us your Holy Spirit as we exit today. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.